From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Hello everyone, you're very welcome to our Gospel program. In a moment, we will continue with our study of the central doctrines of the Christian faith. Specifically, we are presently considering the proof of the existence of God. But before I come to that, I wish to play the last extract from the Reverend John Greer's sermon on the subject of God visiting his people. He bases his remarks on the Saviour's miraculous raising of the son of the widow of Nain. The story is found in Luke chapter 7, and the Reverend Greer particularly centres upon the verse 16. Next week in the will of God, we will feature another sermon as we begin another new month. It's by Dr. John Douglas, and it's entitled, Why We Defend the Authorized Version of the Scriptures. I will, of course, be offering free copies of this wonderful sermon to any interested listeners. Now, let us have the final extract from the sermon by the Reverend John Greer. Please, send for your free copy of this full sermon. You will enjoy it.
May I say to those in this gathering right now who are not saved, we could weep over your soul because you are devoid of true, eternal, immortal life. The Bible says that those who are in their sin are alienated from the life of God. Ephesians 4 verse 18. That word alienated means to be rendered a stranger. A stranger to the life of God. Alienated from the life of God. A stranger to that life that is spiritual and eternal and immortal. The life of which God is the author and the source. Do you not understand that you are an alien from that? You're a stranger to that. You're cut off from God. And therefore, we are concerned for your soul. We're concerned lest you die in that condition. Because you are dead to God and dead to Christ and dead to truth and dead to gospel blessings, and there are so many of them. Dead to pardon, dead to justification, dead to the cleansing of the blood, dead to the life that the Spirit gives. You're dead to all this. You have not the life of God within you. And therefore there's great need to be concerned over your soul. And we long, my friend, that you might come to know the life that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, as Paul puts it, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We long that you might know him. And may God visit his people with a concern and a burden for you. And for others around you, they might come to know this great life that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then again, let's remember that we are concerned for you because it's impossible to have any fellowship with you. Because you are dead in your sins and in your trespasses before God. Look here at verse 12 and notice what it says there. A dead man, says, carried out. The only son of his mother. She was his mother. The verse tells us that. And he was her son, but he was dead. He could not speak to her. He could not cheer her life. He could not contribute one iota to her needs. Because he was a dead man. And of course a widow in those times was someone who depended so much upon the son. And here is her only hope, and he's been carried away from her, dead and lifeless, and on the way to the tomb. And she's weeping and broken over this situation, because no longer can she have any communion with him? And you see, dear sinner, it brings out the point. You're not only an alien from God and the life of God, but you're an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. You're cut off from the life of God's people, from the spiritual understanding and knowledge that they have, from the joy and the peace that the Lord has put into their hearts. You don't know anything of this. You are a spiritual corpse. And therefore we can have no fellowship with you. This is your desperate situation. This is why we're concerned for your soul.
That was our final extract from the sermon preached by the Reverend John Greer that we're offering free to our listeners. Please claim your copy. Now let's take up our study in the central doctrines of the Christian faith. We're considering whether or not we can prove the existence of God. The words that we began to look at in our last program are found in John chapter 4 and the verse 24. They are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. At the beginning of this statement by the Lord Jesus is an assertion of the existence of God. God is. God is. The Lord Jesus Christ, by these words, declares the existence of God. Such an existence may be proved. If God is the one he claims to be, then there is bound to be evidence of the existence of such a glorious person. And, of course, that existence is clearly demonstrated. We considered in our last program the evidence that creation produces and presents to us. Creation points to a Creator, his power, his wisdom, his glory, and his goodness is declared above, around, and beneath us. I always marvel at those commentators on nature films and videos as they extol the wonders of how a particular creature can live amidst the many dangers and the attributes that it possesses in order that it may live in the midst of great difficulty and great danger. There are, for instance, creatures like the bat, totally blind, and yet it can fly and flit around at a tremendous rate in total darkness, and yet never fly into anything. Invariably, the commentators glory in evolution and how the creature over millions of years has adapted. What I want to know is, how did the bat survive during those millions of years of bumping into things, being unable to see anything or find anything or observe anything? How did it feed? How did it survive as a species until it developed its radar? You see, the bat was created with the ability to do what it does today, and evolution is a complete myth. But turning from creation, we can prove the existence of God by the conscience that is in every one of us. There is not a man on the face of the earth who has not a conscience. Some are more active than others, some are more sensitive than others, but every person has a conscience. It exists where the name of Christ and the gospel is totally unknown. Paul describes the conscience in a marvelous way in Romans chapter 2, and the verse 14, speaking of the Gentiles, that is, the heathen nations round about, he says, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. So, even amongst those nations that didn't have the law of God and were unversed in its teachings, nevertheless had written on their heart a knowledge of what was right and what was wrong. And the universal existence of the conscience is a wonderful indication that man has come forth from the hand of a creator. In John chapter 8 and the verse 9, we have a wonderful demonstration of the power of the conscience. In the chapter 8, the enemies of the Lord Jesus, in order to test him, bring into his presence a woman who was a sinful person. She was an adulteress. She had been caught in her sin. And they bring her, and they throw her, as it were, at the feet of Christ, and says, here she is, she's been caught, acting in a wicked way. What do you say we should do with her? In verse 6 of John 8 it says, this they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But now the Lord Jesus did a strange thing. He stooped down and he wrote with his finger on the dust of the ground, as if he didn't hear them. And they continued to ask the question until he raised himself up and addressed them, and he said, and what memorable words these are, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Verse 9, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out, one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. That shows you the power of the conscience. If ever there was a bunch of men that did not want to be bettered by Christ, it was these men. But their conscience forced them to acknowledge the wisdom of the Lord Jesus. I tell you, conscience is a wonderful indication that man has come forth from the hand of a creator. It is, as it were, the fingerprint of God upon our being, the imprimatur, the seal of a creator. Maybe as you have been listening to the gospel on our program on occasions, your conscience has troubled you. There has been that echo of what I have been saying within your own being that has confirmed the truth of what I'm saying. When I call on you to repent and believe the gospel, there has been that within you which says, yes, you should do so. May you do so tonight. May you respond to the voice of conscience, which is indeed the witness of God we all carry around within us. God bless you. Tune in again to our programs next week. Good night.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless His word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.